John, the 10th chapter, we're going to read just a few verses. St. John 10 and 7 beginning. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves, robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Our text is from verse number 10 there, and I'll repeat it. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The title of the message is, The Power is in the Life. The power is in the life. Now Jesus was speaking to a people who were very much alive and active. They were alive physically speaking, but lacked the life that Jesus was referring to. Jesus said, I can come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. What's Jesus really talking about? Well, it's in Jesus that we see God. You don't see God, amen, in anything but Jesus Christ, amen, which was, amen, the apex of what God is like. Amen. Men had not seen God, amen, but in Jesus we see what God is like. John, the first chapter, verse 18 says, No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now we know there was always a distance between man and God. Man had very little knowledge of what God was like. Amen. What God was for, what God was against. I had a little competition going on here. All right. But anyhow, it's only through his laws and leaders did God manifest himself to the people. God speaking to Moses said in Exodus 33:20, Thou canst not see my face, for shall no man see me and live. Then over in the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verse 12, Moses speaking says, And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. No one in the Old Testament thought it possible to see God. But in Jesus Christ, all the guesswork is over. He is the revelation of God. Listen to the words of Jesus when he spoke to Philip. He said this in John 14 and 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Amen. That mirror, amen, when we look in Jesus Christ, is twofold. We see God in Jesus, and also we see what God wants to see in us. People always want power with God. They feel like, I have no power over this. I have no power over that. Amen. But the power is in the life that we live. It's not in knowledge. It's not in religion. It's not in education, but rather it's in the life. It's not in church membership. It's not in good works. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Amen. And how much power you have in your life depends on how close to Jesus you are. Under the Old Testament, ones had heard about God, seen the mighty power of God, but I had not seen the life that was manifested in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shows us what God is like, shows us what God dislikes, shows us how to act. Amen. Shows us that we should pray. Amen. We should assemble ourselves. Amen. We should use the Word of God. All those things we see manifested in Jesus Christ. Amen. He was God manifested in the flesh. John the first chapter, verse 11 says, He came unto His own. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When does the life of God come into our lives? It comes in when we are born of God. As many as received Him, John said. What kind of power is in the life of Jesus? Not power to join a church. Millions do that. And many of them do it without Christ. It's not power to, amen, to gain financially, give money to charities, not power to just quit some habits. Several, amen, have done that in their own strength. What power is in the life of Christ? It's the power to turn from wrong and to turn to that which is right. Not just power over some habit, not just power over some characteristic or personality flaw, but power to turn from wrong and turn to right. All through the Old Testament, we heard the cry of the prophets, amen, as it sounds out. What did the old prophets say? Turn ye, turn ye, turn ye from the evil. Learn to do that which is right. Amen. And I say, if you haven't quit sinning, then the life of Christ is not in you. And you're not saved. 24th Psalm. Listen to what the psalmist said. It's a psalm of David. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Then he answered, He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, amen, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The psalmist starts his psalm by reminding us that the world, everything in the world, the inhabitants of the world, and the earth belong to Christ. or belong to God. You know, when I used to, when sometimes when you take a drive and you go out in some farm country and you see all that cattle on the hill, then you think of that, think of those verses, you know, where he owns all the cattle on the hills and everything. And amen, it just reminds you of the, amen, of the power of God, amen, that's invested in this world. And that's a truth we need to be reminded of once in a while. We brought nothing in this world, and we're not going to take nothing out with us. The best suit of clothes we own is going in the ground. The house you live in, the children you got, the wife or husband you have, the job you got, the car you drive, every bit of it belongs to the Lord. But you know, church, sometimes we can become so earthbound that we feel it's all ours, that we work to earn all that stuff. Yes, you may have worked and you may have earned a good living. You may provide for this and that, but just remember who gave you the job. And just remember who gave you the strength to do the job. And just remember, amen, that very breath you take comes from God. We can become so earthbound with materialism that we can become covish. And when we become covish, we're definitely in trouble with God. That's why ones become laden down with material goods. The church at Laodicea, and it's a shame that the church in Laodicea was in that condition. Amen. It's a church, right? We're right in that day and age right now. And here's a church that has everything they needed, amen, to live victorious in this life. But listen to how they got switched over. They got switched over from spirituality to materialism. Listen to what it says. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. God help us to never get to that place. And knowest not that our true condition is wretched, amen, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Amen. God has ways to release us. Amen. Amen. From covetousness and things of materialism till we get our priorities straightened out. The psalmist said that, amen, that God had founded it upon the seas, established it upon the floods. He's talking about the earth which he has raised above the seas and the rivers and the streams. But he says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? What is the hill of the Lord? Well, the hill of the Lord is Mount Zion. You go to the 15th Psalm, verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Yeah, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Psalm 2 and 6 says, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who shall stand in his holy place? Amen. Who shall stand in his presence? What's the psalmist saying? Who's worthy to dwell in Mount Zion? Who's worthy to dwell in the presence of the Lord? Otherwise, who's a true worshiper of God? Who's worthy to take the family name, Church of God? Who's worthy to bear that name of God? Amen. In this life. Who's worthy to be called his child? And what constitutes true religion? Then the psalmist lays out before us some earmarks of those who are worthy. He that hath clean hands. What does it mean to have clean hands? That doesn't mean you wash your hands, amen, with soap and water. That's not what he's talking about. It means to walk upright and work as righteousness. Go to the 15th Psalm, verse 1. This is Psalm of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Amen. This is a companion psalm. To walk upright is to walk blamelessly, to walk perfectly. You read over in Job, the first chapter, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Then there was Noah in Genesis 6 and 9. Amen. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Amen. That word walk is used in the scriptures many times. Amen. Means our manner of life is with God. Turn with me to the first Psalm. First Psalm that there is, and the first verse of the Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He said that walketh not, amen, in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. Whose character, amen, is that he does not walk, amen, and take counsel of ungodly people. Amen. It refers to more than just the past. It's a characteristic of the man. Always and habitually, he does not walk in those things, amen, that the psalmist mentions. He's not always been true in the past, but is true in the present, and he will be true in the future. Amen. It's that which distinguishes the man. He said in the counsel of the ungodly, after the manner of the principles or plans of this class of men, he will not walk. He does not take counsel of them as to the way in which he should live, but he takes it from the law of the Lord. Psalm 1 and 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate, day and night. His delight. He does not follow after the advice of sinners. He does not follow, amen, their purposes or plans of sinners. He does not plan his life according to their views and to their suggestions. In his plans and purposes of life, he's independent of them. Amen. He looks to somebody him, and that is the law of God. He don't standeth in the way, the path where sinners are found. He doesn't hang out where sinners hang out. He doesn't go where sinners usually go, waiting for them. But he doesn't standeth in the way of sinners. What's that word sinner mean? those who miss the mark. Nor sitteth, amen, he doesn't a seat with them. Amen. He doesn't sit with the scornful. He doesn't sit where scornful men carry on conversation and sit together. Those who mock, deride, scoff, those who treat Christianity and religion with contempt and scorn. Do you know, church, you need to be careful who you hang around with. You need to be careful. If you're hanging around somebody who's always got a negative outlook, watch out. That negativity will get a hold of you. I like to hang around with people that's got a good outlook. Amen. Not somebody that complains and grumbles about every church service. Amen. They always point out something wrong in the service. The psalmist said, he hath clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. You can ascend into religion. You don't have to have a pure heart. You don't have to have a clean hands. And you can join most churches and still be in that condition. But you cannot ascend into the hill of the Lord. To ascend into Mount Zion or the hill of the Lord, you must have a pure heart. In the hill of the Lord, holiness is required. You cannot dwell in sin and in the hill of the Lord at the same time. Your heart must be pure. Religion in itself won't purify your heart, and you cannot purify your heart by yourself. You can't baptize impurities away. To have a pure heart, you must be born again. First Peter 1:18, and it's amazing, right here in the United States, the people that don't understand what it means to be saved. Right here in the United States. I was carrying on conversation with my own brother. This has been back years ago. I was in New York. And I was in his home. So he says to me, he says, Roger, what do you mean being born again? Now, he went to the same church that I went to, the Methodist church, growing up when he went. But he honestly didn't understand what being born again meant. To him, being born again meant being baptized, joining a church. And that was my thinking before I got saved. But being born again, amen, you cannot have a pure heart any other way. You might have good morals, you might do good things, but you can't have all the iniquity taken out. Amen. You can't have a pure heart until you're actually born of God. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We read in 1 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Then the psalmist mentions something that we should be aware of. He says in Psalm 24 and verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up a soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He said, who has not lifted up a soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully? Amen. Here the psalmist is dealing with the thought, amen, of one being involved with that which is false or deceitful. Amen. Otherwise, a man with a pure heart does not get carried away with just anything that comes through those ears. He will not follow deceit. He checks out a matter before he, amen, lines up with it. He will not give false testimony to win favor with others. The man who ascends into the hill of the Lord and stands in the presence of God will receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen. Power in your life. Do you have the power in your life? Amen. Or are you constantly complaining you don't have power over this? You constantly give in to this and you give in to that? The power is in the life of God. Having the life of God in your life. Ones want power in their life, and there certainly isn't a thing wrong with that. Simon the sorcerer, he wanted the power of the Holy Ghost, but his heart wasn't right. He was in a gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. God wants to give us power in our lives. And you know, I find anyhow, the closer I get to Christ, amen, the less effective temptations are in my life. And you know, the closer you get to Christ, the more you want to be close to him. It just works that way. Amen. It's just like if a boy and a girl would, amen, and courting would fall in love. The more that they're with each other, the more in love they become. That's the same way with God. The more time you spend with God, the more in love with God you become. And you know something? God wants us all to have power in our lives. But power comes when there's a life that is worthy of it. In our text, Jesus said, he had come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. As we begin to close, I'm going to let you out early. There's a little snow coming down here right now. Do you find, in all honesty, do you find that you lack the power you need when it comes to temptation? It just could be that there's some obscurities in your life that had not to be. It could be you're not living the life that you ought to live as a child of God. Do something. do something before you wander out here and get in trouble. Do something. When God is good enough to show you there's something working in your life, then you need to deal with it and be thankful that God chose you. Wouldn't it be terrible if God didn't show us anything? Wouldn't it be terrible if we just went headlong into things that were wrong over and over and over and over again? Amen. People get upset when God corrects them or chastises. But God does it because he loves you. And thank God that he does chastise us. I've been chastised and corrected many times by God. Amen, by the Lord. And I never want him to take that away from me. Amen. So as we close the message, if there's something in your life where you lack that power, God shows you. It could be, it just could be, you're not spending time with God as you ought. It just could be, amen, that you're just not, you're not really reading his word as you ought. And it could be that you're getting involved with other activities instead of the activities of the church. It just could be that something else is taking your attention. Something else is taking your time. And not that it's even sinful. But all God wants you to do is get your priorities straight. It should be God first over these other priorities. As we close, do you have power in your life? Jesus came that we might have life. He didn't stop there. But as we grow, have it more abundantly. Let us stand.